Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Hey, we are here at the Correlation Annual Client Conference, the hybrid client conference now. It's the annual hybrid client conference because you can be here live or you can watch it online. The beauty of technology.
463 people online.
That's pretty cool. Yep. That's pretty cool. Taking advantage of the technology for sure. Hey, but yeah, we were here in lovely San Diego at the Correlation Annual Hybrid Client Conference, and in the studio lounge, oh my gosh, Mr. Mike Kelly from Team On Up. How are you, Mike?
Good, Mike. I'm always glad to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Better now that you're here. Welcome, welcome. Congratulations. You had a very fine keynote. I'm trying to think of better adjectives. That's the only one I can think of right now. But a stellar. How about a stellar keynote this morning up on stage?
Stellar.
There. Stellar, yeah.
Stellar, fine. What was stellar? What did you like about it?
I loved, well, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but the thing that really stuck out to me was the three types of imposters, of which we'll get to in a little bit. I love that type of stuff. Because, I mean, we all kind of have, you brought up the whole thing about people having imposter syndrome, and I've been there, done that. I still am there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this type of stuff? So totally get that. But I want to go back to the beginning of the topic of your talk, understanding the new humanity of work. And so you went over a number, and I apologize, I was only there for only half of it. I had to come back down here and do some interviews, but the half that I was there, I took copious notes. So, but give us a quick overview on this topic here, because it's very timely indeed.
I hope so.
I think so. I thought it was.
And there's no better way, Mike, to consider imposter syndrome than to give a keynote about imposter syndrome. Who am I? So what I see as the problem we are faced with is there's a what I'm calling new humanity at work.
Okay.
And the idea I had is, first of all, are we solving the right problems? It seems to me we're working very hard to solve symptoms and not root cause. So that's kind of where I open is, you know, are we talking ourselves into becoming a poor man's robot?
That was one of my notes.
Instead of using all the tools we have on offer as human beings, mm-hmm. as full humans.
Right, right.
And so I spent a lot of time setting up the problem that we're faced with, because the reality, Mike, is we're spending more money than ever, mm-hmm. billions and billions of dollars. And for what? Employee satisfaction down, member satisfaction down.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is the industry is collapsing. And so I let that be a pregnant pause, and it's like, it's collapsing.
Yeah.
Listen, there's going to be less than 3,000 credit unions mm-hmm. by the year 2028. We have to see this picture for what it is.
Yeah.
And so I was hopeful to be of service today by helping people understand the landscape, the problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that problem is hidden under our blind spot, which is, you know, covered up by imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's a good path forward?
Okay.
I work alongside credit unions, and they're having success in this new world.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want a lively, vibrant team creating, innovating, creating great results,
mm-hmm.
you need to start thinking more deeply
right.
about this in a different way.
So tell me about, let's get back to the poor man's robot. Are we trying to become a poor man's robot? I found that fascinating. You had a big slide on up there. And I went, I got to talk to him about that. Yeah. Just that slide alone would be a whole show in itself.
Yeah.
So give me the poor man's robot.
The
hysterical
part, Mike, is I asked, most people are very generous afterwards. Oh, that was great. And I always ask, well, thank you so much. What'd you like about it? And the one guy I asked pointed that slide out, and he was like, you have a spelling error on that slide.
Oh, really? I wouldn't notice it.
The one thing he said. I was like, that's what you got. Poor man's robot is this. We are spending so much time talking about our technical skills. So go on LinkedIn, and it's mostly an inventory of all my hard skills, technical skills.
Right.
And they're vital.
Right.
They're important.
Sure.
If you can get your work into rows and columns, AI is coming for you.
Yeah.
And so those are important and vital and why we get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we talk more about power skills, what we're currently calling soft skills? Can we make an agreement?
Yeah.
We ban that term, soft skills.
Yeah.
There's nothing soft about this.
Agreed.
These are power skills.
Yeah.
So how do we work alongside people? How do we understand what's in front of them, how to support them? What about compassion, curiosity, imagination, problem solving, love? What about those things? And it seems to me we're not, and the thing I said in the keynote was, when's the last time you saw wisdom on a resume?
Yeah. And never. You asked the crowd to raise their hand and nobody raised their hand.
Yes. And so we're, and then I did this fun thing. And if you could see from my vantage point, so there's 1,000 people in the room, just about.
Yeah.
More online. And so then we're talking to ourselves, this poor man robot, we're talking about mindset. Growth mindset, fixed mindset.
Yep.
So define that. Growth mindset is the world is abundant, I'm participating in it, I can make it better.
Yep.
Fixed is, it is what it is. Ah, life sucks and, you know, whatever. So, 1,000 people in the room, and I want to know, is this a symptom or a solution? Okay, show of hands in the room. How many here are fixed mindset?
Yeah.
Mike Lawson, not one hand went up.
Yeah. I saw it.
So, we're lying to ourselves, and we should just stop it.
Yeah.
And because you know at corporations and credit unions, if you admit to being fixed mindset, you've got the scarlet letter.
Yeah, no doubt.
No more projects for you. Yeah. Mike's fixed mindset. So we're lying. We're using half our skill set.
Mm-hmm.
We're lying to ourselves about mindset. And so what I hoped to be of service is there's a deeper part of us where deep thinking and deep feeling happens, mm-hmm. and that's heart set. And so to me, that's the breakthrough moment here of that's what's buried under imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
That part of us that makes us human and animates us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could feed your mindset in that way. So heart set first, feed mindset to build skill sets.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Because, Mike, the robots are coming.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
I think they're already here, Mike. They're already here for sure.
How many vendors are sitting right around us with some version of AI?
I think there's a high percentage of it, for sure.
There's five within eyeball distance of you.
Within a stone's throw, sir. Yeah. Within a stone's throw. Hey, the other thing I wanted to talk about, well, actually, what I started out with, the three types of imposters. And what does this have to do with credit unions today and helping us move forward? So that's kind of my big question for you.
Good question. So imposter syndrome is something that I've noticed so many people are talking about. Where it's like, we're all talking about it.
Yeah.
Got imposter syndrome.
I agree.
And it's way too casual, too. So I just pay attention to stuff like that. I'm like, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we all admitting this?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if you ask anybody, well, what are you really talking about? They clam up. You know, super surface level. So as I've worked alongside credit union executives, I see three types of imposters.
Okay.
The first is the perfectionist. Now, the perfectionist is goal-oriented, hard-charging, will do what it takes.
Yeah.
And that those are all good things.
Sure, sure.
The perfectionist is never happy, no matter what happens. So if we were supposed to do $1 million in loans, and we did $1 million in loans, there's no high-five moment. It's like,
oh, no, we can do better.
We could have done 1.2. Okay, I mean, yeah, but let's have a little bit of a party. So the perfectionist is always keeping success at a difference. And to me, and I'm looking in the mirror on this one, it's a little bit of striving and trying to earn your self-worth. There's a little bit of like, if I just get to that next thing,
mm-hmm.
and I think we see this expressed in our lives, mm-hmm. right? If I just could make that amount of money, if mm-hmm. I just could drive that car.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you do that, and it's fun for 2 weeks. Then
right.
You're like, well, the stupid car just gets me from A to B.
I know. It's just a car.
Okay, so just we've got car. The perfectionist. Now that person could, Mike, eat themselves from the inside out. And I had a lot of people after I talked come up to me and they said, you were describing me to a T. Are you reading my mail? This is just what we're struggling with. Then there's the poser. I thought I was going to get run out of the room.
It's just hilarious. It was really good. That's why I brought it up. I thought
the
these were
poser
great.
Sounds amazing. They sound just like the perfectionist.
Yeah.
And yet it's this kind of personality type. Now there's many more of them than the perfectionist, but the poser sounds amazing, but somehow nothing ever really adds up. You know, it's like you leave the meeting and you're like, oh, we're gonna do it, and then you come back and it's like, well, not enough good stuff happened. And they're clever, and they too are keeping success at a difference. And Mike, my sense is they don't want the report card for some reason. there's a fear. I think both these things are, I think it's all based on fear, but there's this fear of, I don't want the judgment. I'm probably worried about my skills, that I don't have the actual skills, so I'm going to run from this a little bit.
Yep.
And so you're just, in both cases, missing out on a lot of joy in your life and a lot of opportunity to grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third type of imposter is the Ponzi. And the
that's when you had the room.
We've all worked for the Ponzi.
Yes.
These are the psychopaths who will lie, cheat, and steal and do as much damage as possible. Now, they have an elite ability to roll up all the perfectionists and the posers to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Bernie Madoff and the Samuel Bankman-Fried crypto guy.
Oh, the crypto guy, yes.
But we see this in the employee population, too, that some people will look you dead in the face and lie through their teeth.
Right, right.
Knowing they said something different 2 weeks ago. That is a psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the thing I see there is when you have a blind spot, which a lot of this is turned in, right? When you're captured by imposter syndrome, at the bottom of that barrel is a big bucket of fear. The perfectionist is, well, I'm fearful. I'm not good enough on my own, so I've got to earn it. The poser's thinking, well, clearly I don't have the skills to do this, and I don't want anybody to find me out.
Exactly.
The Ponzi, you know, they're off doing their own thing. There's only 4% of the population.
Hence the psychopath, yes.
Psychopath. And they have to move along eventually anyway.
Exactly.
They're easily found out. But at the bottom of that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And instead we've like twisted this to such a point of imposter syndrome comes roaring in usually when you're doing something new. So new CEO, enjoy your job. You're learning something new.
Yeah.
You don't actually know how to do this job all the way, but you are trained and prepared.
Yep.
You went for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike, I have learned to look at behaviors because they show beliefs. People only do what they actually believe. So if you didn't think you could be going to be CEO, why'd you go for the job? Just stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we can add facts to these feelings. So I know the feeling of imposter is fear-based. It's hanging out in your gut.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's work very hard to connect it up into your heart and out of your head so you can see this picture for what it is and realize you're learning. When did we lose that joy?
Yeah, you never stop learning. Learning is a lifelong experience, endeavor.
Well, we've lost it because the person who hired you wants you to have done the job 10 times already. And you're like, well, I want a new job.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something new.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, again, the hiring process is a whole bunch of lies because you have to convince the person who's hiring you to have enough confidence to hire you for what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you haven't done it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just eating us inside. And based on the feedback afterward, which is always what I'm looking for, what do you think?
Yeah.
One young guy, this made me so happy, one young guy came up to me and he said, I loved your talk and I hated your talk. And I was like, perfect. Why? And he said, because I'll never be able to think about imposter syndrome the same way.
Yeah.
Isn't that a delight?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, tell me more.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I've been in a new field for 18 months and this punishes me every day. And you blew that apart in 13 minutes. And I was like,
yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah.
And so what are we doing? That's a symptom, not root cause.
Mm-hmm.
Is it crazy? I thought I was going to get run out, Mike. But
no, you were fine. You were fine. No, it was good. No, I like, because I thought, I found it as a giant reality check.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of the, I think the thread that runs through those is we're not addressing reality a little bit. You know, we're kind of living, I don't want to say a fantasy world, but you know, we're kind of like keeping reality at arm's length, if you will.
Yes, and the kind
Which
of coming
keeps
into
us,
that.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Keeps us.
Well, it keeps us from being totally fulfilled, you know, and experiencing that joy in your profession or hobby or whatever, because you're keeping yourself from that. Why are you doing that? You know,
great question.
So just that boggles my mind, and I'm as guilty as anybody of all of this. So yeah,
I know. Mike, I was in my hotel room preparing, and I'm thinking, what have I got myself into? It's when you have a touch of it, I think it shows you care.
Yeah.
You have feelings. You want to do a good job.
Sure, sure.
But overdone, it turns into a blind spot.
Yeah.
And I think the blind spot challenges, some of this stuff becomes true for you. So there's a guy at lunch, another young guy, starts asking me and another guy a bunch of questions. Well, how do you think about this? How do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's isolating himself in his inner circle because he's embarrassed by the questions. He should know. He should know the answer to these questions. I'm like, dude, how old are you? I'm 35. I'm like, keep asking questions.
Yeah, never stop.
But pretty soon, he hasn't asked the question enough. Well, now I definitely can't ask it. Now it's embarrassing. Now it's shaming him, and like, it just grows. And that's where you see people derail and do crazy, kooky stuff.
Yeah, it crushes them.
And for what?
Yeah.
Instead, we could turn it and have a different thought.
So let's bring it around to the more, let's bring it around to the positive side here and connect it to credit unions and how it can help our industry, how it can help XYZ credit union perform better.
Yeah.
Can you bring it around?
Yeah, yeah.
Bring it around to that.
So the idea is if we want to have a healthy industry, we need to attend to these results.
Okay.
And I had fun with, you know, how's lending going? How's deposit gathering, net interest margin, all those things? Well, you need to have your team prepared to meet success. And if they're wandering around in pieces, compartmentalized in this imposter syndrome world, you have no shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's closer to root cause, or root cause is you got to find meaning in the mission. You have to understand why you care about the work that's in front of you, why the role you have has a certain discrete set of goals.
Mm-hmm.
Goals are just good objectives with actions listed. Just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
What is your responsibility? What's your job description? I love to kid the HR people. Every job description ever, Mike, has been cut and paste from some other industry. We all know these are lies, too.
You're right.
Then you have unique gifting. Right? You're uniquely designed. What if we could get you in front of work? That's according to your job description. And then you have gaps. And even gaps, and I hear this from a lot of young people, they say, well, I'm not good at that. You've done it like three times. You're right. You're not good at it. You need to get good at it.
Exactly. Repetition.
And so, in terms of a simple system to support everyone's success, this is what I teach and offer to credit unions now is, this is hard enough on your own. You're the leader. You're in charge of this whole group of people and investing in their success.
Mm-hmm.
You have four things to invest: time, talent, tools, and money. That's it. So as much clarity as you can bring for your team in the goals that go with their role, the role of your business, and then you lay out your standards of success. That's what I talked about in the back half of the talk.
Yeah.
Vision, mission, values. These are your standards of success. Vision is your vehicle. Get you from where you are to where you want to go. Mission is the motor. It propels the vehicle forward. The steering wheel, the values. Just keeps it on the road.
Right.
Goals are the gas pedal. Fuel is the meaning in the mission. The company has to matter. And I have to be able to plug my stuff into it and not have me living in some compartmentalized life where I don't get to try to be a full human with all that makes me human available to grow success. So to me, and the credit unions I'm serving now are having success with that. We're still just scratching the surface. But you see people start to light up and realize we're going to do the workshop.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Really light up and say, We're doing something different.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, well, I wanted to mention the workshop. So how deep are you going to go in the workshop?
We're going deep.
Tomorrow. Okay.
We're going deep.
We're going the abyss deep.
So one of my clients is here, and I worked alongside them on installing their simple system of success to support everyone, and we did vision, mission, balance. So we're just going to unpack what they
are. Okay.
So people helping people. The industry's mantra. This credit union, education credit union, cast a new vision, and they want to be people that love people into sustained financial prosperity.
Right on.
Bold ambition. Yeah. And so the wild rebellion inside their organization of what's that mean? Love, they've defined love as an attitude of action done in someone else's best interest, done in such a way that they would understand it as love.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike, we said, how do we repo someone's car in love? It's great conversation. Ooh. How do we understand how to get you and help keep you in sustained financial prosperity?
Yeah.
It's helping people 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to just walk through that. You know, how do they think about it? Where were the headaches? What did pushback sound like? How do they overcome things?
Mm-hmm.
What are the results they're seeing?
Mm-hmm.
And so their executives are here, and we're going to have a great old time. And then just what do you think from today's talk? You know, to welcome the group into a new conversation.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a big group there for sure.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah, but I'm still stuck at how do you repo a car in love? No, but I think there's a lot to that. That defines everything right there, because you're not looking at it as just a simple act.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get this piece of, I'm going to get this material item back.
Yeah.
So we can recoup our money. No, but what's the next step after that, and how are you going to help that member
right.
avoid that situation again, which is what crediting should be doing, and they do. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I like taking that deeper dive.
There's 30 leaders, and we're going over all this stuff before we roll out to the company, right? So I'm in Texas with Education Credit, and it's all their leaders. And now there's unrest, right? And as the host of this, Mike, I was kind of like, whew, this might be going the wrong way. There's a lot of protesting. But you want to know where it's going. One of the women on the team had not been hugely supportive of the direction. Kind of cranky. Yeah. Kinda, you know, she's that profile, which I'm good with it. We're all unity.
Sure.
She stands up and says, and I'm like, oh gosh, here she goes. I'm thinking she's going to come out with something else. She stands up and gives 10 minutes extemporaneously on, she said, y'all, I've been here a long time. This is how I do my job. I'm the one who's repoing the cars, by the way. This is how I train my team. We serve these people. We do not want to see them get in this. She went on and on and
wow.
on, like it brought tears to my eye. I was like, oh, it's happening. She grabbed a hold of it. And she understood we want to raise up to a new level. So to me, as a leader, as a CEO, that's what you want those frameworks
yep.
to do, is call people forward
mm-hmm.
to the place that does not yet exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, the crankiest, there's a couple of cranky people in the room, one of the crankiest people stood up, and I was like, oh, it's on now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is happening.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And so that's, it's hard to do. You have to use discernment and judgment and all the tools at
mm-hmm.
our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, when you break through, it's unbelievable.
See, that's what I'm trying to, that's what we need to get at right
yeah.
there. I
yeah.
love that deeper meaning
yeah.
for, and that just says it all right there.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, man. Well, I know you have lots of people to talk to and a workshop to prepare for,
yeah.
but always appreciate your time and your expertise and your insights and a lot of fun as well. So
Mike
appreciate
Lawson,
the time
you're
as always.
The light, a treasure in this industry.
Thank you.
I love your voice.
Thank you.
I'm cheering for your continued
Thank
success.
You. Thank you.
Great guy.
Thank you.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.